Let's go to Isaiah 52. Yesterday we looked at how the Feast of First Fruits was when Christ was resurrected from the dead, and we saw that it always happens on the morrow after the Sabbath during the... It's a moving point. So it depends on when the Sabbath is during the course of that 8-day Passover. And then the morrow after the Sabbath is when the Feast of First Fruits happened. And I can show you specifically how, when he was crucified, when he was buried, and how it... He spent the full 72 hours in the grave. And then on the morrow after the Sabbath, he was resurrected while they were presenting the first fruit offering in the temple. Now, all of the scriptures in the Old and New Testament that talk about coming out of her. Let's look at this first one in Isaiah 52. Verse 10. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all of the ends of the earth shall now see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go you out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord, or that are the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out with haste, nor by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel shall be your rearward. And so this doesn't matter whether you're in Babylon or in Egypt or the world. It's the Exodus. Again, the world is Egypt, Egypt is an eternal type of the world, and Babylon is an eternal type of religion. So a lot of people, as we talked about Harry, he went out from Egypt. He took a jet plane and landed... A skip landing in Jerusalem and went directly to Babylon. And so did Gary.
What did you say, Ronnie?
Did he say it yesterday?
He did, and he said it 2 weeks ago and a year ago.
And so when you return to Babylon, when you go to Babylon instead of staying in the land, then you have to have another exodus. And again, the world is a type of the survival of the fittest, and Babylon is the type of cause and effect, or principles, or rules, or how-tos. And the land of the promise is the land of no how-tos, no cause and effect, no survival of the fittest. It's the ones that are the weakest that live in 100% dependence, not leaning on their own arm of understanding for anything. So if you believe that you participate in the process with anything other than emptying of yourself, that means you haven't left. You may have left Egypt, but you didn't leave Babylon. And so we've got to come out of her, totally out of her. All right, now let's look at it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. O you Corinthians, verse 11, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels, or you're handicapped, you're wounded spiritually.
straightened.
Yeah. Now, for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be you also enlarged. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with infidels? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. Now what do you come out of? Paul said it clearly in a few verses earlier that if you had to come out of the world per se, then if you had to leave any surroundings with fornicators and screw-ups, then you'd have to leave the world itself or leave everything. What you come out of is everything that's typified in the Old Testament. It's the bondage of Israel in the world or the bondage of Israel in Babylon. Now, that's what the celebration of Passover is all about. Now, what happens, the reason that Passover, again, is connected directly to the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, it's called. And it's connected by this count, the counting of the Omer. The cross is supposedly your death, but for 99.9% of the people, they don't come out of it completely, they just come out of what they think is bad. And the purpose of the counting of the Omer is to come out of what you think is good. And so there is the end result on Pentecost is you're an open, empty vessel, dedicated only to dependence on God. So all of this process of counting on the Omer, and the day, the count of the Omer, starts on the first, on this morrow after the Sabbath. It starts the exact day that Christ is resurrected. So mystically, he's resurrected in you. That's the place of his resurrection. You got it? So now what happens? The Zohar says a couple of interesting things. It says, open to me an opening no bigger than the eye of a needle, and I will open to thee the supernal gates. Now, remember the moral on the Sabbath day of Passover is when one of the Megillah was read. Remember there are five books in the Megillah? Esther? On when? Purim. Song of Solomon on Passover. No, wait a minute. We got to... Yeah, Ruth on Pentecost. Lamentations on Fast of Ab. And the book of Ecclesiastes on the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Megillah was so important that all activities in the temple stopped, so even the most menial of the Levites would participate in the reading of the Megillah. That's where the whole Megillah came from, if you've ever heard that expression. Now, we saw the mystery of everything in Ruth. And the word God isn't even mentioned, in Esther. And the word God isn't even mentioned in Esther. Now, we have the betrothal of the bride. And that's the mystery that happens in Passover. There is no betrothal unless you're born again. There is no betrothal unless you have let the world and all of you go away. And so now, This is the scripture that's read the day before on the Sabbath and the morrow afterwards, which is the evening afterwards, is when he arose. Listen. Open to me, my sister, my love, because thou art the door to which there is entrance to me. If thou openest not, I am closed. Now this is the Song of Solomon. This is the message of the Song of Solomon. So, this mystery of the counting of the Omer, which is totally unknown now in the church, and it's essentially unknown even in Judaism. But the counting of the Omer, for the 49 days in preparation for Pentecost, is the whole mystery of coming out of the gates of impurity. And those 49 gates of impurity that you come out of on those 49 days are everything that you think is good and proper, the right thing to do. You got it? You got this picture in your head? So the Feast of Passover is directly connected to the Feast of Pentecost. There is no separation in the two feasts. On the intervening Sabbath, you read the Song of Solomon. Open to me an opening no bigger than the eye of a needle. Open what? Open the many caves and dungeons in you that you have closed or have covered over with your own ideas and what you've been taught is the right thing to do. There is no opening if you're still walking in cause and effect. Because that isn't dependence. Dependence, 100% dependence on God is the opening. Am I communicating?
I'll tell you one way I've seen this in Titus is a marriage. And before a marriage, there has to be this emptying of both vessels before they can enter into that arrangement. And that's part of how we conduct ourselves around here with our meetings and that. And when they are empty, then they're ready for the new thing.
This is why this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Fornication, if you believe the scriptures, it is of course the sexual thing, but it is far, far more. It's going to any place else for anything that you require for sustenance. So if I go to cause and effect, and I think I'm participating in the sanctification, all I'm doing is building up my store in Babylon. Now, this was when God slew the firstborn in Egypt. At that very time, the bride entered into the covenant of the holy sign, and each linked themselves to the community of the true Israel by means of the blood. The blood on the lamb, the blood of the lamb, the blood of the lamb. But it wasn't just the blood. You also then had to eat the flesh. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, there is no. You have. Jesus said he said it terrible. He said you can have no part of me. Now, what have you eaten instead? What has given you sustenance and satisfaction? What has given you worth? All of these things are what this counting of the Omer addresses, and the counting is so incredibly important that if you missed a day of the count, then you couldn't partake in Pentecost. Why? Because Pentecost requires an empty vessel, that it would be filled with Him. And He cannot occupy where you are. Not because he can't if he wanted to, but because of his humility. So as long as there's a place within you where you are trying, where you are trying to get it right, where you're trying to do the thing that you think you should do, then your celebration of Pentecost will just go zoom, and you'll go eat some stuff and go hang out with some people, but you won't celebrate Pentecost.
Isn't the idea to make the count simply requires that each day you're aware or conscious of it at some point in time?
Each day of the count was another recognition of something else that you had the thought that was good that you had to step out of.
Yeah.
Could be family, could be children, it could be making a living, it could be doing right by people, whatever it is, whatever you think is good that has given you identity and sustenance, you must come out of it. Because it is preventing you from the mystery of Pentecost, or from apprehending it. It's already, Pentecost isn't going to happen, it's already happened. The seed was shed on all flesh.
This reminds me of when early in the gathering of ourselves, you used to talk about the subtlety of the test that we are in the bride. Shadow, or, you know, the real fine points of the bride, and so that's why to me it's always difficult to see just what it is that we're about, you know, like, because now we're in the judging of finding those things that we judge good and evil, which are so endemic to us we don't even know that we're doing it.
That's why it takes a body.
Yeah.
That's why you can't do this alone. I can't do this alone. I wish to God I could do it alone. What?
You need to come out of that.
Yeah, you need to let that go.
That'll be wrong.
See, you got to hear this. The 7 days prior to... that's not right. We celebrate the crucifixion and the resurrection... But in the 7 days after the resurrection, we eat only unleavened bread. We eat no leaven. So nothing, and again, leaven, you know, it has nothing to do with the bread. It has to do with the idea that you see no lack, that you see no, there is no hypocrisy, and that you live only by the power of God. Now, the dependency of that, it can't happen to people that have got it together, because you will never deny that which has given you life. It has to have failed for you. But the mystery of eating it for those 7 days is the actual eating of it is to tell you something. And it's to tell you. And again, that's why we went through the burning of the leaven. That's why there was all the teaching about the meaning, I hope, about the meaning of the leaven of Herod and the leaven of the Sadducees and the leaven of the Pharisees. So that you could then come to this place where there is never anything going on in you except 100% trust in God. And so that is the only thing that you gain sustenance and satisfaction from. There's no more eating of your children. What does it mean to eat my children? Well, it means to gain identity from their accomplishments. Or to gain shame from their failures. That's probably enough to think about for... What?
Well, I just got out, got that stuff. Got this period of time of life represented by a cycle of seven. That, you know, it's your whole life. It's your nasty,
Gentile-like before you become a believer. And then after that, you've got seven sevens during which you come out of your so-called born-again bullshit Christian. I'm a good person. I used to be bad walk.
Or anything. Yeah, I know.
It's funny.
It is. You've got to understand that it's so clearly stated in the words of Jesus. Except you be converted, and become as that darling infant, that you can in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. To be as that darling infant is to lose the capacity for self-awareness and self-exertion with regard to solutions. So you return to the place of 100% dependence on the Father for everything. And if He doesn't meet the need, you die. You get divorced. You, whatever. There is nothing, there is no protection for all the things that you spent your life protecting.
The girls, the ladies, the filmmakers asked me about, on camera, they were asking me about why you were making fun of me and what it meant and stuff. I revisited the fact that the morning after I believed, the first thing I did was set about asking the question, how should I dress, how should I act, what should I say, who should I hang around with? What are the rules now that I should follow to be what I've become?
This is why what we are doing, I believe with everything in me, I don't say that everybody in the universe has to do what we do in order to go to heaven. They don't have to see what we see. But I know that I know that I know that we have to do it. And we have to do it for their benefit. Just as what they're going through is for our benefit. But this is something that we are called, this mystery of the feasts. And the subtleties of this idea of coming out of what you think is good, the 49 gates of impurity. I asked 15 rabbis to tell me about these 49 gates of impurity. They had no idea what I was talking about. I talked, the huge split that I had, which has now been amended because we don't talk about it, but with Zola Levitt at that so-called Passover that you had where you were working at that Christian nightclub. He said, it's the blood. And I said, no. It's the blood is just the beginning, then it's the eating of the flesh, and it made him crazy, if you remember. You must eat the flesh, and what you eat is what gives you sustenance and satisfaction, and it's revealed in your disappointments. If you're disappointed or not, something isn't happening the way you think it should, and it costs you your peace, then that it isn't something to be dealt with, it's something to be repented of. My people shall live in quiet resting places and peaceable habitations all the time.
Another thing that comes into my mind this morning is that the seven. I always love the seven sevens. Something about that I really like. And the idea that someplace there's a scripture that talks about it's as if a man was rising and sleeping.
What's the kingdom of God like?
Over and up, rising and sleeping and rising
and
sleeping.
Sevens.
And the implication is it's over and it's the mundane things of life.
This is why you cannot rank any activity. You cannot rank sin. You can't think that murder is any worse than lying. There's no ranking of sin, but there is also no ranking of activity other than laying down your life for someone else. But there's, from God's perspective, every one of these gates of impurity are just as evil as anything else that crucified his son. And yet you, I promise you, when these gates of impurity become obvious to you, and I'm not going to sit around and tell you what they are, because that's something that must be born by each person. I'll give you some hints, but as long as you think this is the way something should be, that's a gate of impurity. And it's probably a lot more than 49, but the seven sevens are the parable for the completeness, so that you are empty. At the first, when Passover happened, they believed for fear. Remember, I've told you I've always wondered why that some have to remain alive to be caught up in the air at the end? Because in order to finish the cosmetic of the bride, some have to believe for joy. And so that's why, in a twinkling of an eye, I know that we've got to be at rest. We've got to be sitting down for joy. Have ceased from our own labors. Have stopped our own judgments of right and wrong and good and evil. Have lived in a point of just total dependence on the Father. That's what the mind of Christ is. The mind of Christ doesn't put the imperature of God in your idiotic thoughts. I mean, that's what gets us, that's what we got half these people running around saying, oh, this is, God gave me this. No, he didn't. That's a lie. Well, God told me. No, he didn't. Your mind told you. Anybody have any response? John? There's something going on. Do you see it?
Interesting how gates of impurity mind immediately takes word impurity of bad stuff. Now I got to search out the bad stuff.
Why do you think I've told you 100,000 times that it's the things that you think are good?
That's where I was going with it.
Okay.
That's the way this stuff works. If you just use your mind to figure this stuff out, you get lost.
No, the word impure.
Doesn't mean impure. Yeah, that's why if you take, I'm sure all of you have studied chemistry, at least basic chemistry. If you take something that's pure and mix it with something that's 99.99999% pure, it becomes impure. You remember we talked about this a lot, about the risk that God took.
Yeah.
So only that which came from and originated in eternity can return to eternity.
This also was reminiscent of Paul talking about when you were Gentiles, you did the things that were right without even knowing it, and now you try to do it by law, going about trying to establish your own rightness. You don't care about that until after Passover.
Each of these feasts are not dependent on time. They're dependent on apprehension. And apprehension isn't dependent on study. It's dependent only on removing rebellion or repentance. As long as you think there's some time necessary, it's rebellion, hiding. That wasn't just geared at you, Gary.
But mostly Gary, right?
No, Gary is simply the one that takes the heat for it. The rest of you are... Why?
The rest of you pricks.
All righty. Take it, big guy.